Tonight, if you have your Bible, just for a few minutes together, Exodus chapter 20, we'll look at the last of the Ten Commandments tonight. And then I have one more message on the Ten Commandments, and it will be the greatest commandment. Tonight, we take up in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 1. I read it over every time. Debbie asked me tonight, she said, what will the text be? And I've read it time and again. I want to read it one more time. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 1. And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers, to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. The Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and the sea, and all that's in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor, and you shall not covet your neighbor's house, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant, or his maidservant, his ox, or his donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Tonight we look at the 10th commandment, thou shalt not covet. Now, to covet means that you want what somebody else has. And today in our culture, we would call it greed, or trying to keep up with the Joneses. Covetousness is basically the desire to acquire more, to have more. And this causes a lot of people to work long hours, makes workaholics have a lot of people to the detriment of their relationships with their family and friends and with God. I want to say that if you're going to obey this commandment, the 10th commandment, thou shalt not covet, we need to define what real contentment is. Find true contentment. If you're going to do it, you need to know two things. Number one, the consequences of covetousness. And number two is the cure for covetousness. I want to make, first point is the consequences. There are two consequences, maybe more, but I'll give you two tonight. Of the violation of this commandment. One of them is that covetousness causes excessive debt. It causes us to desire a lot of things we can't afford. A good rule in life is never, Joan is a financial consultant, she could tell you that a good rule of thumb in life is never to borrow money on depreciating things, depreciating items. It's okay to borrow money to buy a house because up until the last few years anyway, this is not true now probably, but up until the last few years, a house would appreciate, right, Craig? Until you and I bought one, it would appreciate. And another thing that would appreciate, and I think is okay to borrow money, my son did, and many of you have, and some of you will, it's okay to borrow money to go in debt for an education because an education is going to pay dividends the rest of your life. But I want to say that we need to live by Proverbs 22 and verse 7. It says, we need to look at it. It says, the rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is the servant to the lender. In other words, this means that when we go into debt, we lose control of our lives. We lose a lot of control. And we lose control over our future earnings. When we borrow money, of course, we're going to have to pay a part of that in interest, pay it back. But It also could affect, even whether or not we want to sell our possessions. Because if you borrow money, you got to get the lender's permission before you can even do that. You lose a lot of control in your life. But the big thing I want to say is a lot of people go deeper into debt because they want things they can't afford. And they want designer clothes or fancy cars, things like that, expensive cars. And Ecclesiastes 5, chapter 5, verse 11 says, as goods increase, so do those who consume them. Only benefit to the owner is to feast his eyes. The only benefit to the owner is to feast his eyes upon them. And you need to think about this. If I'm going to borrow money, does that add happiness to my life? And I tell you, in most cases, the answer is no. I had a member of my family, I won't tell you who it is. I don't know if I've even told Celia this, but not my immediate family, but my extended family. And she had a problem. She watched the TV network. And you know they got that, which channel is it? The channel that advertises all those. The shopping network is right. And she got hooked on that thing to the tune of about $30,000. She stacked things in her house. She'd go in the kitchen and she'd have things, just foolish stuff. Her bedroom was full of it. Her kitchen was, the den was full of it. This is somebody I love. It almost cost a marriage. And it may be that a lesser person would have said, I can't do this. But I can tell you that one of my relatives had to go and make a big loan. And it's just, it can be a sickness. She was addicted to it. Buying stuff, she didn't need the stuff. Didn't need it all. Hardly ever used any of that stuff. Just little trinkets, just junk, really, literally junk. But she'd ordered on the shopping network and got hooked into that. And so she got overextended. And so I want to tell you that building a happy home, it requires remembering one of my favorite scriptures, and that's Psalm 127:1. And it says, except the Lord build the house, you finish it. They labor in vain that build it. Unless the Lord builds this house, they labor in vain. And you can apply that to the church. You can apply it to a lot of things, can't you? Unless the Lord's in it. So I want to say that that things, cars and clothes and castles, all that, that will not necessarily build a happy home. Only the Lord can do that. Only God can do that. And that's one reason He gave us this commandment on thou shalt not covet. I want to say that covetousness causes excessive debt. And number two, it causes distress. The more we make, the more stuff we have, we accumulate, the more stress that comes in our lives. One study indicates that as income goes up, insomnia goes up. What is insomnia? Can't sleep. Ecclesiastes 5:12 says, the sleep of the laborer is sweet, whether he eats little or much. But the abundance of a rich man permits him no sleep. So in other words, the more we have, the more we worry. We worry about how to protect it, how to invest it, how to keep it. And this is true even if you pay in cash, just like much less buy on the credit. But we worry about a lot of things. We worry about missing a payment. You can worry about depreciation. Is my investment going to lose money? You worry about that. Second thing I'm going to say is, so those two things need to remember. The consequences of covetousness. Number one is debt. Number two is worry. And then I'm going to say, how do we cure? What is the cure for covetousness? Well, many people today covet possessions and success so much they're willing to pay a tremendous price. Success and possessions. The more they get, the more they want. Hebrews 13:5 says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. I'm going to say this. Contentment don't mean complacency. You should invest and you should save. And some of the most successful people I know and have been a great blessing in my life are very successful people who use their treasures in the service of the Lord. So I think it's always okay to, we ought to work, all of us work hard to achieve a higher standard of living, but we should not let covetousness prevent us from being happy and enjoying what we have. Now, how do you be content? Three things I want to offer and I'll close. Number one is survey what you have. If covetousness is a problem, then first thing you ought to do is survey what you have. The real issue is what you have. And finding contentment usually starts where? I think it starts at home. So I want to say, first of all, Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 22 says, "He who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord." So I want to say, in considering what you have, you men tonight, us men, if you have a wife who takes care of your kids, who provides a clean, healthy home, and who loves you, you really have a good thing. And I want to say, you wives, if you ladies, if you have a husband that loves you, is faithful to you, provides for you, you have a good thing. And if you have children, that's a good thing. Now, in today's society, a lot of people don't want kids because they feel like kids having children would prevent them from getting more stuff. But the Bible says in Psalm 127 and verse 3, children are a heritage from the Lord. And children are a reward from Him. And I want to tell you something. I have three children. And they're God's greatest gifts in my life. And they continue to be a reward now, because those three kids have grown to seven grandkids. I think we're finished. Now, I think that's it. See, I believe my kids tell me, the girls say, that's it. Seven is the end. But I want to tell you, I love them deeply. And I have a heritage that money could not buy. I guarantee you, my kids. And a reward. The Bible says that children are a reward from the Lord, and grandchildren. And David said there, he said, talk about having a quiver full of them. And my quiver is almost full. If you don't believe that, you come to Darcy's house when those kids come home, and you think you wonder how in the world could we take one more, you know. But children are a heritage from the Lord. I want to ask this question tonight. Not only family, but do you have friends? Do you have friends? We live in a lonely world, and good friends are hard to find. But I want to tell you that you're blessed if you have some good friends. One of mine called me yesterday from up in Columbus, Ohio. He said, "I hadn't seen you in a long time. I want you to come up for a football game this fall." Done it many times. He's a dear friend of mine. He is a very successful businessman. He has 15 different plants across North America, Mexico, and Canada. Probably the biggest man in the bacon industry in America, and maybe the biggest in the world. But his little old boy grew up, Sam, didn't even had a high school education. Started selling pans out of the back of his car, bacon pans. And now he has a plant. I've gone to his plant up in Ohio, and they make over 1,000 different models of bacon for industrial bakeries. And he has 15 plants around the world. And he called me up yesterday and said, "I just missed you." And you know, I'm a little old guy. I came up, couldn't even pay attention, you know, for a long time. Then I married Celia, now I can pay attention. But for a long time, I couldn't pay attention. And he's a big guy. I mean, a big guy, the way the world looks at it. But I want to tell you that if you have friends, I had another friend I talked to yesterday, and he's a guy who buried his wife about a month ago over in Carolina. And Harlan called me, and he said, "I don't know if I'll settle in Carolina. Probably going back to Pennsylvania. That's where his roots are." But anyway, the Bible says in Proverbs 17:17, "A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." A friend loveth at all times. Somebody said, Mike, that a friend walks in when the world walks out. If you got a friend, you got something good. And you know, the number one basic need of humanity is unconditional love and acceptance. And everybody needs friend there. And I tell you this, I've known some incredibly rich people. I know a good many of them. And probably some of them, they're probably rich people tonight that would be willing to give everything they've got just to have some friends to stand by. A friend, to find a friend that really loved them at all times. Yes, Helen. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? That's a great testimony. Thank you, Helen. Let me say the last thing is, survey what you have. What did I tell y'all to look at? Y'all listen to me? Family, what's the next thing? Friends. All right, I said, first of all, if you're going to deal with if covetousness, if you're going to really find contentment, you need, number one, survey what you have. All right, here's number two. Stop comparing. Stop comparing. The root of covetousness is comparing what we have with what other people have. Comparing their car to my car, their house to my house, their kids to my kids, their spouse to my spouse. And we feel threatened if we feel like other people are more successful than we are. Because we want to prove to other people that we are more capable or more successful than our family and friends. And I want to tell you, comparing leads to a lot of discontentment because tell you what I've always found in life, and that is that always, I've run up on a lot of people smarter than me. I found that I have, there are a lot of people that are more successful than I have been. There are a lot of more rich people than I am. And they're hard to believe, but there are a lot of people better looking than I am. And so instead of comparing myself with anybody, we need to live by what Paul said in Philippians 4:11 when he said, I've learned to be what? Content with whatever the circumstances in my life. And I want you to notice one word in that in Philippians 4:11. He said, I have learned to be content. What are you saying there? He's saying that nobody's born with contentment. You've got to learn to be content. You learn that. It is a learned thing. So to be content, we need to stop comparing ourselves with the Joneses. And we need to remember this. That comparing causes us to forget that whatever we have is more than we deserve. Right. Last thing I want to say is, if you're going to deal with covetousness, the cure of covetousness, survey what you have. Number, count up your blessings. Number two, stop comparing yourself to other people. And then number three, seek what is eternal. God wants us to focus on the really important things in life. A lot of things in this world are not important. Jesus said, take heed and beware of covetousness. And then he said in Luke 12, he said, man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. That means really the quality of your life is not determined by the quantity of your possessions. Happiness don't depend on possessions or prestige or power or popularity. I think happiness comes when you're right with God, those first four commandments, the vertical ones, and then the last six are horizontal, when you're right with your fellow man. That's when happiness comes. So I want to close tonight by saying, well, to find true happiness, you must realize the consequences of covetousness, and that is debt and distress. And you must utilize the cure, which is to survey what you have, stop comparing yourself to others, and seek what is eternal. We're going to stand together and sing a hymn. It was a great service. We had a great time this morning. I'm so proud that Bobby came and moved his membership here. Maybe there's somebody here tonight. I think maybe everybody here, I hope everybody here is a Christian and maybe a member of this church. But if you're not, we're going to open the doors of church before we go. And we're going to stand together and sing. What are we going to sing? 400